Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Hey everybody, this is Lori.
And this is Abby.
And we are live from the Learning Disability Association Conference in Orlando, Florida.
Yes, LDA Con 61.
I think it's the 61st.
61st International Learning Disability Conference.
And if you go back through our episodes, you'll see that we were in Vegas last year,
which was
really fun. But Orlando's kind of a nice little break, little warm weather.
It is a little bit warmer.
And
we
are super excited. We're going to introduce you to a couple people today. The first one we actually met last year in Vegas, and we've actually had her products in our office this year and have had a lot of parents very excited about them.
Right.
So we are very excited. Abby, tell everyone who we're talking to.
So today our special guest is Polly from LegiLiner. Thank you for being with us this morning, Polly.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about you and about LegiLiner.
Okay, so I am an occupational therapist. I worked in the schools for over 20-some years. And as therapists, we had to push into the classroom often. And so when I was pushing the classrooms, a lot of the times it might have been science or social studies, and they don't have the handwriting lines. And so I had to draw handwriting lines by hand. And I could never get them straight.
Right.
And so I said, I just need a rolling stamp. And there wasn't one anywhere that existed. So I went home and I found a company called Rolograph, and I had them do my own pattern. And I started carrying those around in the classroom, and the teachers went crazy. They were like, you should patent that. And so I knew I had a good product, and now I have 19 different stamps. We have rolling ink stamps for handwriting, shapes, music, math, and it's been a lot of fun.
That's awesome. So cool. Yeah, we love the stamps we bought from you last year. We keep them in the conference room where we meet with clients or families to go over their testing results. And we love showing it to parents that have children that struggle with writing, and they take pictures of it and they're like, where can we get it? And so now I see this year you have a bunch of additional stamps that you didn't even have last year.
Right. Teachers keep asking for new products, and we're like, sure, we can make that, you know? So if it's popular enough, it's something that we start to add. We have stamps that progress in sizes to get the writing smaller, and then we have them to progress off of the dashed line handwriting. So we have just a wide rule line, and then we had a teacher one day say, well, hey, if you turn that wide rule line vertical, now you can do digit alignment for math.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do 3-digit alignment, and so we have math teachers buying our wide rule line. We have handwriting teachers buying the handwriting, the double line. But it originally started from the Handwriting Without Tears curriculum because they use the 2-solid line.
The 2-solid.
So, we've got a couple that also go with curriculums. We've got one that's a worm line, and that goes with another curriculum. And so just as teachers have requested them, then we've made more stamps.
And so you were saying something earlier about a 5-day challenge.
Yeah, so we have a 5-day messy handwriting challenge for parents. Takes them through some steps on how to deal with messy handwriting, especially in older kids. The children that are young and learning their handwriting books in kindergarten, first grade, they're still learning.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get to third and fourth grade, and if you have sloppy writing, the teachers move on without you.
Right.
And teachers are frustrated. They can't help. And, you know, they don't have the time to sit down and help that one student that's struggling. So we have a free 5-day challenge, and we can help you with your struggling writers.
I love that.
That is wonderful.
5 days.
That is nothing.
And it's free.
Anybody can commit to 5 days.
Huh?
So how can listeners find you and LegiLiner stamps?
Yeah, so the best way to find me is on the internet, on Instagram and Facebook. We have a Facebook group. We have a Facebook community. Instagram has a ton of videos and ideas. My website is legiliner.com, and that's where they would want to go shopping. And then legiliner.net is where you would find the messy handwriting challenge.
Awesome. Oh, very cool. Well, we're also going to do a little demo video that we're going to include a link to it in the show notes. But we kind of want to show a little bit about what these look like if you just want a quick quick look, and then we'll also put the links to her social media and websites in our show notes. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate you, Polly.
Hey, everybody. We are back now. We are excited to introduce you to Jennifer. She's with Syllables Learning Center, and this was a new one for us. We had not heard of Syllables.
Wow.
We had done a little research before we came.
Right.
I'm really excited to meet with her and find out what she does. So Jennifer, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. It's nice to meet you both.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about you and kind of how you got started and a little bit about Syllables.
Okay. Well, I've been doing this for 30 years. I started out in the high school behavior disorder classroom and found out my students couldn't read. And that started my journey because they would ask me questions like, why is city not kitty? And I said, I don't know. And it made me question how I even learned how to read. And that is so the beginning. And 30 years later, I've dedicated most of my life to teaching reading, working with kids with special needs, mostly dyslexics. I ended up 10 years into it having a daughter with dyslexia.
Wow.
So I got pretty lucky that she had dyslexia, not something I didn't know about. And we branched out into materials and teacher training as well. So we pretty much stay in the world of reading and are all over the place with that. But our learning center has been around for 23 years. We're accredited by MSLEC, IDA, our curriculum is, and that way we can certify all of our reading therapists. So we work one-on-one. We've been doing digital learning since 2012 or whenever I first saw Skype on Oprah, and switched to Zoom, you know, during the pandemic. So we've had a lot of experience doing virtual learning. So we've been working with kids all over the world. Currently we have kids in France and Egypt and sometimes just down the street because Atlanta traffic is pretty bad.
I bet.
We have an Atlanta center, but
I'm just curious, and I don't know if other people are wondering, if you are working on a reading program for dyslexics, we often talk about the best programs are those multi-sensory programs. So if they're doing it virtually, how does it become multi-sensory, or how do they access your
materials? That's actually a great question, and it's something that we were really concerned about when someone first asked us. Like, we started because one of our students moved to France, and we were like, I don't know how we're going to do this. And so we've been working on it and perfecting it over time, but we ship materials to the kids, and we have lots of card games and card decks. We even have this inflatable beach ball where all the cards fit in. We ship them to the kids, and that way they have a kit. They even have bead trays that they can write in and wax crayons and to give them feedback for some OT and handwriting practice. And so we have a lot of those types of things. And we can play the games virtually. Mm-hmm. So you can play Go Fish. Like, we'll do like Go Fish with voiced and unvoiced sounds. Like I have Dib. And we just have a double deck. I'm holding my cards. They're holding their cards. And they're like, you have it. And they set it in a pile. And at the end of the game, we see who won. And it's really like we're just on the other side of a piece of glass. Mm-hmm. And that way we'll say, like, we can toss the beach ball up into the air and they can practice where their thumb lands. They have to read the word or the sound or the concept. And we go from really pre-K for kids who have already been diagnosed with either working memory or kind of like the pre-dyslexia. We see this coming. Let's get started. Or a history in the family. And our oldest student was 54 and had recently had a stroke. So it really doesn't matter their age. Mm-hmm. You just meet them where they are. If the 54-year-old didn't know what a letter was after the stroke, I had to say, well, you know how we talk? We have these symbols that represent the sounds. Like,
wow.
I mean,
starting
from scratch. And he graduated from Georgia Tech as an engineer. So it was just interesting to see the way the brain processes even from the very beginning, no matter what age you are. So if we get high school kids that come in, which happens a lot, if they come in and it's their first diagnosis, what has happened is they've compensated for years.
Right.
We probably still have to go back almost to the beginning, but it doesn't take as long as it would with a 5-year-old. And, you know, we just don't use a high-pitched voice. Right.
So are you saying it's never too late to intervene for dyslexia?
Never too late.
Oh.
And also it's possible to close that gap. So people will say, like, well, they haven't read for years. Their vocabulary is so poor. Well, if you teach, you know, the phonology with the morphology, you can start from the very beginning. You know, most people don't realize how many bits of meaning you can find within words that will transfer to 10, 20, 30, 40 words. So you're building vocabulary at the same time. You know, we'll talk about consonant blends that have meaning. You know, so like GL, it's not just G and OL put together. There's lots of words that mean to reflect light, like glitter and glisten and glimmer and glow.
That's amazing.
And so, so when you combine all these things together efficiently, then the kids are getting, you know, that phonology, morphology, they're developing fluency, they're developing that vocabulary. And then comprehension is really an outcome, right? So if we can build all that simultaneously, we don't have to say we have to get them reading before we can do vocabulary, or we have to get them reading before we do writing. We can build those at the same time, just with different level of expectation. So a lot of our younger kids, maybe fourth and fifth, they can't really write complete sentences. We'll do a lot of oral practice, and we call it oral punctuation. They'll have to capitalize with hand signals and put a period with hand signals. And we have, like, you know, shrug your shoulders if it's a question mark.
Multi-sensory.
Right. Yeah. And so what we're doing is really creating complete sentences. And then when their spelling skills are at a level that now it's not so effortful, they already know how to do it. They know what that sounds like. They know, because writing is really just translating what you're hearing in your head about what you want to say. And we've laid that foundation. So that's what we're trying to do. We do it one-on-one. We do it in schools.
And they know what it feels like.
Right.
Yep. I love that.
Everybody deserves to know how to read.
It in their head, too.
Mm-hmm. We work on that, too.
Visualization.
Some kids just don't image. They don't see things in their head, and they don't even know they don't until somebody says, what are you seeing in your head? And they're like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Right.
And that, if you're not paying attention to all those things that could be causing an issue. I mean, a 16-year-old that was scoring like an 85 on her standard score for IQ, she just didn't visualize. And, you know, people didn't have high expectations of her.
Mm-hmm.
And with practice and over time, you know, she was not performing as if her IQ was 85. She was performing as if her IQ was high average.
That's
like 120.
Wow.
Yeah. And so finding the missing link, finding what is not going right, I think is really the most important thing.
Right. And giving the appropriate intervention.
Exactly.
It's not like a one size fits all type model.
Well, that's why one on one.
Right.
Yeah. We're able to meet everybody's needs.
I love that.
Because it's still the same content, right? Because people think reading is different than math, but it really is very similar. You have a, you know, sequence that you can't jump around.
Right.
You know, so if you don't know basically sound symbol relationships, how on earth are you going to decode?
Mm-hmm.
And reading is different than other subjects where people think, I can't treat them like they're a child. I have to do big words.
Right.
And I'm like, just because a word isn't long doesn't mean it isn't complex.
Right.
Right? Like, wet versus wet. I'm going to wet my appetite. What does that mean? I'm going to put water on my tongue? No. You know, it's like, what do these mean?
Exactly.
Right. You know,
so
really just still a CVC word.
Right.
But
right.
a totally different meaning. So it's really thinking about also vocabulary in a different way
that
could be one syllable words will have 10 to 400 different meanings.
Sure.
But multisyllabic words typically have one or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, because they're long
and
all the definitions in it.
Yes.
So knowing language of origin and what these sounds and representations mean as far as meaning as well is going to make everything, you know, easier for kids.
I love that. So if people want a little bit more information about your program or are interested in signing up, how do they find you?
Well, we have a website, syllableslearningcenter.com, and there's an info tab. They can email us, or the phone number's on there, and they can call us.
Okay,
good luck.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day today.
We will put that link in our show notes.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, everybody, we're back with one more guest from the LDA conference. Right now, we've got Tim and Lindsay from ORCAM, which is probably not something you have heard of, but after today, you're going to want to know about it. So thank you guys for being here. We appreciate it. So if you could tell us a little bit about yourselves, and then what is ORCAM?
Absolutely. So I'll go first. My name is Lindsay Lamica. I was an educator for 6 years in Central Florida. I taught everything from kindergarten all the way up to intensive reading, 9 through 12. I kind of shifted out of the classroom and into the educational tech space. And I kind of came about OrCam when I was rage applying out of the classroom and kind of just stumbled upon it. And, you know, I'm the implementation manager as well as the account manager. So I handle all the training, all our prior customer accounts. So really kind of doing the full scope of everything. And I love teaching teachers how to teach, training others, training individuals how to use the device. So that's kind of a quick background about me. And now give it to Tim.
So my name's Tim Stanton, and I'm the area manager. I'm the guy who gets in trouble when things go wrong, and I hide under the table when things go right. So myself and Lindsay are part of the team that helps with customer success, and I've been in ed tech now for about 15, 20 years altogether. Before that, I was in the data side of things, but years and years ago when my hair was brown, my very, very first job was teaching English in Japan.
Oh.
In the pre-internet days. So the concept of sitting across from a sea of faces with deer in the headlights and looking for help kind of morphed into my introduction to the education world. But the last, as I said before, the last 10 years specifically, I've been in the assistive tech field. So I used to work for a company called Scanning Pens. It does the C-Pen. And OrCam is a different animal completely. It's a leaps and bounds above, technologically speaking, as far as access, as far as accessibility, and it's a much happier product, and no more tears.
No more tears. We like that. So give us the best, you know, kind of explanation of what OrCam is for somebody who's never heard of it before.
So the company OrCam itself was brought up in about 2017. It was made with our first product, the OrCam MyEye, and then we went to the OrCam Read. And what those devices are is for individuals that have visual impairments. So we partner with the VA Association, so they're one of our biggest partners for this device. And about a year and a half ago, our product managers, who are actually dyslexic themselves, they created this OrCam Learn. And what the OrCam Learn is it's an assistive technology handheld tool that will read from any digital or printed media, so cell phones, laptops, tablets, worksheets, textbooks, to text-to-speech read out loud. The other kind of bonus of the device is that individuals can read to the device, and whether they're practicing reading or practicing their fluency and accuracy, the device will give them positive feedback on how well they did. So it kind of builds that independence for everybody, and not just students, but especially college students, those who are transitioning into the workplace, and or even just individuals that get reading fatigue that just want to listen to text being read.
That's amazing. And everyone loves positive reinforcement.
Yes.
And needs it to continue doing something that's hard.
Absolutely. And the type of feedback that it gives is like, it's that sandwich feedback. So it'll start with something you did great, something you need to work on, and end with something you did great. So we're kind of taking those properties of working in an elementary classroom and transitioning it to, again, like you said, everyone likes to hear that positive feedback and reinforcement.
And the devices are Bluetooth, so you can have in headphones. So this is something you could use in a classroom and not disrupt the other students, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the sidebar to all this is controlling classroom chaos, where you can think of one gen ed teacher dealing with 15 kids, and she might have a literacy support specialist or one or two in the class floating. So kids can access level appropriate materials with their earbuds in quietly, discreetly, and also without interruption. So the class is not interrupted. The student accesses what she wants. The teacher can keep an eye on everybody and make sure all the workflow is going. So all levels can be serviced at the same time. But most importantly, kids who are shy and reluctant readers can have access quietly at their own pace. Mm. And you know, the more you try, the better you get, the better you get, the better you feel, and you keep building on and on and on. So everybody wins. The teacher wins, the students win, the parents win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And administration wins, because what Lindsay said before about measuring fluency and comprehension, you know, you can have a way to monitor progress, and also make sure that the products are getting used.
Yeah.
So does it record them if they're using it
to read something or they're reading to it, does it record them so they can listen back to their reading?
So it doesn't necessarily record them. So in our upgraded device, which is the device that can connect to Wi-Fi and Wi-Fi connectivity, so how it works is it uses artificial intelligence and artificial technology to just listen to that reading, and it will kind of on the back end in what we call the cloud. We don't keep their recordings or keep any of that or their voice or whatnot, but anytime they do what we call a reading PAL, where they're reading to it, they're getting assessed fluency, comprehension, or even asking comprehension questions, it gets sent to a dashboard portal, which is kind of, which is just a basic URL website. That's access for teachers and for administrators, and that goes through the whole specifics of their words correct per minute, their two-syllable, three-syllable accuracy. So it's a full-force portal that will give accurate data to where you can, again, like Tim said, track progress monitoring or even looking at those specific goals for the students' needs for their IEPs, their 504s.
Right.
So it's full service.
Or even to assess whether or not an intervention is working appropriately.
Yes, and we have many students who use it because we can invite students individually to their portal, so they're keeping accountability for their own use and their own work, and they're kind of seeing that progress. And the great thing about OrCam is, again, you know, for students who might shy back in the back of the classroom because they're not confident in their reading, this device, it will capture from very far away. So they can be sitting in the back, connecting their headphones or Bluetooth, and they can still capture what's on the board, for example, on the smart board, and it will read to them. So it kind of, again, you know, that full force accessibility in the classroom that we're really trying to promote the confidence and the motivation for the students.
That's brilliant. I think about classrooms nowadays, most classes have smart boards or those whiteboards that are electronic, and teachers are presenting a lot of the material on those smart boards. So I'm thinking, so you're saying if a child is sitting in the very back of the classroom and they point their OrCam pen towards that smart board, it will still read it to them in their earbuds?
Yes, absolutely. I've, just as an example, I've been driving in the car, capturing billboards in the airport, I've been in this conference, other people's boards. Wow. So yes, it will read. And then the great thing other about OrCam is we can adjust so many settings for the device. So different voices, different dialects, different reading speeds. So again, it's full force, different settings to meet the needs of those individuals.
And if I'm not mistaken, it's multilingual?
So it is multilingual. In our full force device, it will translate any English text to 20 different languages.
Wow, that's incredible. 20 different languages?
So again, the goal is it's still English immersion. And all the teaching and education goes on in English. It's not, we don't consider it to be a translation device, sure, per se. Right. It's just in a pinch when a child is giving that deer in the headlights look, saying, I really don't understand a word you're saying, which is going to happen a lot now, David, all with newcomers, new arrivals. So a teacher can turn around and take that text, capture it in English, immediately have it translated into the native language of the student she's working with, and then, if need be, transfer it back.
Sure, yeah.
So if you have a child from Vietnam and China and Mexico in the same room, theoretically, if you have three different devices, you can adapt it for each of those three children.
That is incredible.
And the point is that administration can't probably find an ESL person,
every language,
literacy support, and then all in one, and then hire 10 of them.
Yeah, no way. So we're going to do a little demo, and we're going to include that video in our show notes. But for families that are interested in looking into the product, what's the best place for them to find you?
Well, they can go to the site and contact us directly. When it comes to parents and schools, typically parents are doing the heavy lifting, finding out about the product, then approaching the district and waving the device at the meeting saying, I need this support for my child. So there's a top-down and a bottom-up way of a parent and a family gets involved.
So your website, is it orcam.com?
Yep.
So, and OrCam, O-R-C-A-M.
Yes.
For us.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Awesome. This is a great tool. Like, I can think of so many kids in college and
college
high school,
students.
But elementary
and even adults, too.
Yeah, in the workplace.
Yep.
Well, thank you guys for sharing.
Thanks
for being here. We're going to do a little demo.
Make
sure you guys can check it out in our show notes.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.